Welcome to the Vocation Hour, a program that provides insight and encouragement for young men to lay down their lives and heed the call to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And now your host, Father Stephen DeLacy.
Hi, welcome to the Vocation Hour. I'm Father DeLacy, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's great to have you, and our Lord is so great with the wonderful vocations that he is producing, and with all of your help and prayer, we can get a continued increase in vocations. So often, you know, when people are being called to do something, when God is calling, and he calls everyone, so everyone that's listening right now, you know, you're being called to something, the thing that all of us are very good at are coming up with excuses. And we can have a million excuses of why we don't respond to whatever it is that God's putting on our hearts. Like, oh, I'll start going to daily mass when my work schedule changes. You know, I'll start reading the Bible when I have more time, or when the kids are out of sports, or whatever the situation is. We keep putting it off. You know, where the reality is, when God calls, we're supposed to respond immediately, because doing God's will is supposed to be our number one priority. And if we're going to create a culture of vocations, then making God's will our number one priority then needs to be our number one priority, and without question. And so, you know, I'm reflecting on, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, you know, being called to be a prophet was a very hard thing. A lot of sacrifice was involved with being a prophet. You had to say a lot of unpopular things, and we're all called to be prophets today. We're called to say very unpopular things in today's day and age. But Jeremiah, you know, and he played the card that probably many a seminarian have played once in their life at least. You know, he goes, "Lord, I would do it, but I'm too young." And he tries to use that as the excuse of why he can't fill this role of being a prophet. And our Lord is just like, "Don't you know what a prophet is? Like, I give you the words to say. Like, I'm the one calling you, and I provide for what it is that you are to say." And he says the same thing to all of us. Like, "I'm calling you. And the fact that I'm calling you and you're perceiving it means you're meant to respond now." And when you do the math, it may add up that, you know, like, okay, I don't have enough money to do this, or I don't think I'm talented enough to do this. You know, you may do the math and you're like, it doesn't add up. I shouldn't be doing this. And whatever is lacking, that's the piece that God's going to provide. And we have to trust that. We have to trust that. And the given for everyone who's being called to something. And as we said, if you're baptized, and especially if you're confirmed and receiving the Eucharist, God is calling you, and I can guarantee that he's calling you to do something that's beyond yourself. And so that's why it's an act of faith, because we have to step out trusting that God is going to provide. We don't like trusting, right? We would much rather be 100% self-sufficient, but if we could do it ourselves and we didn't need God, well, that's not a calling. That's not a vocation. That's not us doing God's will in the world. And so, you know, eventually, you know, Jeremiah said yes to God, and everyone that became a saint had said yes to God, and they showed trust in God, and they made that leap of faith. And so if we want to build up the culture of vocations that we need in the church today, every one of us needs to be on board, and we all need to be saying yes to God and making God's will our top priority. Well, praise God, we are very blessed to have we have this outstanding guest on the show today. He is a recently ordained priest and doing just phenomenal work. And it's just such a joy and privilege to have Father Chris Marconi on the show today.
Father DeLacy, thank you so much for having me today. It's so great to be with you. You are the man, and I am totally just following in the footsteps of Father DeLacy up in Collegeville, which is where I am as a newly ordained priest. So thank you so much for having me here. It's great to be with you.
Oh, it's great, and I'm hearing great reports about the wonderful things that you're doing in college ministry in addition to the parish, and
that's right,
young adult ministry in addition to the parish, and just, you know, you're keeping very busy. But before we jump into all that wonderfulness, you know, where were you born? You know, where did you grow up? You know, like, what was your home parish?
Yeah. So I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia, born and raised in Huntington Valley, which is just outside of the greater Northeast, as they call it. And so just off the boulevard there. My family was originally from there. My mom's side of the family was originally from there. And They grew up on Sally Avenue. My dad is originally from New York, and but they moved down in the 80s to Philadelphia, and then they settled there. And my mom grew up just down the street from where I grew up. So my home parish is St. Albert the Great, and that's where I was baptized on October 30th, 1983.
Outstanding.
Thanks be to God, I just celebrated an anniversary.
Congratulations.
And I think that's a great thing for everyone just to know your baptismal date and then to, you know, do something to celebrate that day or just to remember it in some way. So that's, I was baptized at St. Albert the Great, and I'm one of four boys. So I have two older brothers and one younger brother, and so my mom is definitely going to heaven. I mean, I think that's a definite. If we can do that, like precursor or preemptive canonization there. So grew up in Huntington Valley. So I'm the third of four boys, and growing up in my home, we had a baby grand piano. I always have to talk about music whenever I'm talking about growing up because it was such an important part of my family life. So baby grand piano there. We all played music in some way, so it was a very musical home. We were singing, and you know, that was like I'm very much a part of my family growing up. I didn't go to the parish grade school for grade school. I went to Angele Assumpta Academy, which is a private Catholic school in Wincote. It's just behind Bishop McDevitt.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And so went there, and the Handmaids of the Sacred Heart teach there. And it was a wonderful experience. I had I didn't have the pleasure of having nuns growing up. The only nun I had was in kindergarten, Sister Connie. She was fantastic, and I still remember her. She was a wonderful woman, a wonderful religious, a wonderful example of someone who had given their life to Jesus Christ, who had said yes to the will of God, which is something that you brought up in the beginning, you know, and I think that's really at the essence of any vocation is saying yes to the will of God. So, went to grade school there, and growing up, we had it was both a really joyful experience and also marked with suffering. My youngest brother was born with special needs. And so, at home there was a lot of difficulties with that. I remember, he had trouble keeping things down, so there was things like that. So he had open heart surgery and things like that. So there was a lot of, there was joy, but there was suffering as well. So right from an early age, but thanks be to God for that. I mean, I think it's a mark of someone who's really growing in their discipleship and they're following Jesus when they can say yes even to the difficulties in life. I think that's really huge. So anyway, so graduated there, Angele in 97, and then went to the prep.
The prep, yes.
Yes, so I had to put a little plug out there. For the prep, greatest, Catholic high school in Philadelphia.
Just a quick comment then. So do you want to talk about how painful it was? You couldn't get into LaSalle College High School, right? So and then we're lucky the prep picked you up.
That angel of death passed over me. No. Both great schools, wonderful schools. But
absolutely.
They're awesome and a lot of great vocations from both schools.
Yes, absolutely.
And went to St. Joe's Prep. My grandfather had gone there. My uncle went there. My older brothers went there. I went there. So it was kind of like a family tradition to go to the prep. Great example of the Jesuits, I have to say, going through the prep. Their big motto is for the greater glory of God, And my goodness, talk about trying to live that out, through God's grace. What a gift to do everything for the glory of God. To have that as your highest priority. So that was definitely something that made an impression on me going through high school. Another thing that made an impression on me at the prep was a motto that they used was a man for others, which was huge. I mean, come on, a man for others. That's amazing. Your life is for others. God has given us life. He's given us these great gifts, all this stuff, family and all the rest of it. And what is it all meant for? It's all meant for others, ultimately. So that was that. So in high school, I have to say, I was more in your St. Augustine, St. Ignatius of Loyola camp. So definitely like strayed from the flock. definitely not like seminary material in high school. So, you know, I'm sure you do your high school work and that guy would make a great priest. I don't think I would have been the one, Father DeLacy, that you would have gone up to and said, yeah, that guy is definitely going to be a priest.
Yeah. So. But it's also, that's a powerful lesson too. Like, thanks for, you know, saying that, because so often we categorize, you know, guys, and really like,
yeah,
vocations come from anywhere. Like, we look at St. Augustine, we look at St. Paul, we so like,
yes,
so many St. Ignatius, yeah, so many of these great saints.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, as we're walking into the studio here at the seminary, you know, they have that line that's up there that's, you know, you just read it,
yes,
Father Marconi. Do you want to state it here?
Oh, Lord, let's see if I can remember.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay, I'll take it since I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, saints don't necessarily start off great.
Yes.
But they finish great.
That's huge. Yeah. So that was it's over the door at St. John Vianney.
Yes.
And that's my story in a nutshell. You know, definitely in high school, didn't have that like strong start. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but that's just how it was, you know? And so, you know, definitely, I agree. I think sometimes we tend to think, all right, all vocations should look like, and then fill in the blank. But that's to limit God's providence and his power and his ability to call whom he wishes, you know? And I think that, the St. Paul's, the St. Augustine's, the St. Ignatius of Loyola's, they show us that God can call anyone from any place, and he does it for his purposes and for his glory.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's what it's all
Absolutely.
About.
And just a word of encouragement too for, you know, anyone that's in high school ministry, youth ministry, catechetical formation of any sort, that, you know, so I'm guessing, Father, that, you know, probably, you know, if they were looking at you at that time,
yeah,
it probably didn't look like it was sinking in.
Yeah, right.
And yet you were still being formed, you know, because you started off with your enthusiasm of the impact that these had in your life, even though maybe at that time you weren't giving much evidence.
Yeah.
It was still impacting you. And so, you know, we should keep a hopefulness in any ministry
that
God
yes.
is doing a great thing, even though there may not be any evidence for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think high school is a really tough time for a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on in life. And a lot of times, if people who are working with that population, with that group, they can think, gosh, is this even working? Like, is what I'm doing really having an impact on their lives? And it's so important to remember that God is ultimately, you know, planting seeds in people's lives and really allowing for so many things to happen that we just can never see in mm-hmm. this life, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you, there you are at St. Joseph Prep, maybe not living the epitome of the Christian life, but
yes.
you're being formed and then you know, then you're about to graduate you're making important decisions there.
Yes. So I always had this dream when I was growing up of being like a famous musician, you know? Ever since I was young, I just dreamt of it because it was in my family, you know, and I had, you know, family members that had written music, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is totally something that I would love to do. So really, I just, at the end of high school, I wanted to pursue that.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm going to do this, gung-ho, you know what I mean? So I applied to a bunch of schools, but eventually settled on Berklee College of Music,
okay,
which is in Boston, Massachusetts. And so I applied, and it was, got in, and it was really exciting. And I remember sharing that with my family, and they were like, oh, my goodness, can't believe you got in. So it was great. So I went up there in 2001,
mm-hmm.
and I had a wonderful experience up there in Boston. And, you know, I have to say, musicians as a group work very, very hard, but they get paid nothing, you know, or little to nothing, you know. So it's a great, I really, you know, a lot of musicians, they sweat, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in terms of getting to where they are. But it's just amazing, you know, to be up there. And it was an amazing experience for me.
Beautiful.
Learned a lot, and learned especially what it means to have a disciplined life. Because there's no cramming for exams when you're studying music. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna night before, you know, like get this one in and kind of, you know, just like if you haven't done work each and every day to prepare for that exam, that performance, whatever it might be, you know, it's just not going to go over well.
Yeah.
So that was like, I would have to say, like, the overwhelming like lesson that I learned from that experience.
And while you were there, what musical, you know, genre were you learning?
Oh yeah, so I specialized in my piano was my principal instrument, mm-hmm. and I really studied a wide range of things from classical to jazz to contemporary music. My desire was to really have a well-rounded musical experience, and Berklee really offers that opportunity. I would say their emphasis is more like on contemporary music and forming a musician for the contemporary world. So someone who's able to do, you know, like scores for music, for film, somebody who's able to do like a little engineering, somebody who's able to teach, you know, so they really want to form like a kind of well-rounded musician. And so for that reason, like, you get to explore like all these amazing avenues of music. So
that's awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, this is the Vocation Hour. I'm Father DeLacy, the host, and we have special guest Father Chris Marconi, who is sharing with us his life story. If as you're going through the show, if you're like, I would really like to be able to speak with Father Chris Marconi, we can put you in contact with him. You know, if you're thinking about a vocation, you know, going through the heedthecall.org website, or if anyone would like to speak with me for, you know, vocational direction, feel free to reach out to me. You know, a couple special announcements. Actually, this exact weekend that we're airing, we actually have a come and see weekend for high school men. So if you're listening to this and you're just like, man, I wish I knew about this, you know, we'll have other come and see weekends coming up in February and March. You can go to the Heed the Call website to sign up for that. Or if you really feel passion and you can call this evening, you can still participate in the come and see weekend, you know, all day on Saturday and Sunday. And what a come and see weekend is simply coming to the seminary and experiencing the life of a seminarian and prayerfully asking the question, Lord, are you calling me to the priesthood or are you calling me into the seminary? So it's a great opportunity. Next weekend will be the come and see weekend for post high school, so college age, young adult, and beyond. And so, if you're listening to this and you know something feels like it's stirring, and you're like, and the principle of like we have to respond to what God calls us to. So you know the first step in the response might be just going to see. It's no commitment at all. You know the price is right. It's totally free for the come and see weekend. The food is good. You get to interact with seminarians, and you know it really is a great experience. So the Heed the Call website is the best way to get the contact information and the best way to sign up. So we're here with Father Chris Marconi, and he's talking about his time going through college and, you know, the discipline he's learning by studying music and the different genres that he's learned with the piano. So do you get to play the piano much now? Quick aside.
Oh yeah, totally. When I can, I get onto the piano. I have one in the rectory, and then we also obviously have them in the church. So yeah, it's great fun.
Outstanding.
It's relaxing.
Outstanding. So we'll have to have like we'll have to get you to give a snippet of your music, and then we'll incorporate it into the show here.
It's a great idea.
So we'll incorporate it now. Well, that was great from Father Chris Marconi. So if it didn't work, it means that we technically couldn't pull it together. But that was our attempt to just kind of add some music. Otherwise, it was wonderful. But anyway, our Mr. Bill Rose of Joyful Films is our technical director.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Vocation Hour here, and so he was just giving me a look at, you know, my attempt here. So anyway, but we thank Bill for all the good work that he is doing. So well, Father Marconi, please,
yes.
Let's pick up with where you left off.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll go from there.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see. Let's see here. What should I bring up? Well, first of all, I should say I probably should have known that I had a vocation because when I went to college, I was carrying with me a book by Thomas Merton, who was huge in my life. And it was called New Seeds of Contemplation. Mm-hmm. Now think about it. What 17-year-old is carrying around a book by Thomas Merton called New Seeds of Contemplation? It, for me, it was always something, you know, very – I just hit the mic there. It was always something in the background, but definitely not something that I was willing to really pursue. Mm-hmm. But I always felt a strong call to give my life to God. Mm-hmm. Even through high school and even in college, That didn't take the form of the priesthood, but I felt this strong call to give everything to him. I don't know if that makes sense, but spiritual writers and things like that, I was always very interested in that. So when I was about a sophomore in college, I experienced like this really like profound healing, on some of the things that I had kind of brought with me from my childhood and things like that. And like really experienced this really profound healing when I was like a sophomore in college. And it was through that experience that I really started thinking more about my vocation, what God was calling me to. So by the time I was a senior in college, I was looking at applying for master's programs in music education, and I was kind of getting ready for that. And I had kind of like achieved that goal of studying music, and yet I was thinking to myself, well, is that it? I mean, like, really, it's got to be something more, you know? It can't be the whole kit and caboodle here. So, I had experienced that healing, and like the faith was becoming back to me. You know, I was starting to practice the faith more towards the end of college. And I think the thing that still stands out in my mind, it was 2005. It was April. I was just on the cusp of graduating college. And I had all these, you know, plans for my future. And of course, that was the year and the month that Pope St. John Paul II died. And that was a really like profound moment for me. And I think like a lot of my upbringing and a lot of the things that like I'd held on to like came to the fore. And then Pope Benedict XVI was elected. And I remember where I was when he was elected and seeing that on television and being like, you know what? That's my guy. Like, that's my shepherd. Like, that's where I belong. This is like, this is no longer the faith that like was given to me. This is my faith. Do you know what I mean? Like, as an adult, you know? And I think that's really like the beginning of really looking at, oh, wow, like what this has been going on for like a long time, like thinking about God's will, thinking about what he wants, like my desire to give my life to him. And like then Benedict XVI and John Paul II and that whole like thing, you know what I mean? And it was just huge for me. And so I went back home. I started working. I was teaching in Doylestown, and I was down at St. Matthew's Parish teaching there and like kind of music director, you know, for the school there. It was like 1,200 kids or something. It was crazy.
Wow.
And then also working at St. Albert the Great, my home parish, as an organist on the weekends. So, that was just an amazing experience. And I met like great priests there. I met Father Joe Devlin, who used to be the vocation director for the Archdiocese.
Yes.
Father Mark Capizzi was there. Monsignor Paul Doherty was the pastor.
Yes.
Father Gill was through it at one point. And there was just awesome priests. Like, so I got back to St. Albert, started, like, I was constantly there, going to daily mass, and meeting these great priests. And they really helped me to take more seriously the call that I had really like been carrying for a while, but never like really pursued it in earnest. So that was an incredible experience for me. So I started looking at religious orders. You know, I looked at the Franciscans a little bit. I never thought about the Jesuits to my family's chagrin, you know, but they were always like, yeah, I should have been a Jesuit. But anyway, I was like, no way. Should have been a Christian brother. No, just kidding. So anyway, let's see here. So I started looking at the Franciscans, the Capuchin Franciscans, and a great priest, and I'm still in touch with him today, is Father Tom Betts. Just like an awesome shout out to Father Tom Betts. He is the man. He's now the provincial for the Capuchins. And he was a great friend and companion in terms of meeting regularly with, like, he was a kind of a spiritual director and like helping me to discern God's will. So went on some retreats with him and his community. And then I was also thinking about diocesan priesthood, so I was in touch with Father Chris Rogers and went to some of those come-and-see weekends, which I have to say, if there's young men out there thinking of the priesthood, if that's on your heart, if God, if you feel God is calling you to that, those come and see weekends are a great opportunity just to like see and meet others and kind of get connected in that way. So I can't recommend that enough. Father DeLacy, you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
And just a plug for that, I did go on those and they were a huge help at that time of my life, which was really essential to kind of, you know, make that decision and properly discern God's will in my life. You know, just kind of jumping around, seeing what's most important. I want to bring up the sacraments because I really have to talk about that whenever I'm talking about, you know, vocation story. So obviously going to St. Albert's regularly and was thinking about, you know, vocation and looking at religious orders and looking at the seminary and stuff like that. Everything changed when I went to confession once on a Saturday night, right? Mm-hmm. So right before the vigil mass, I was playing the organ that night, and I went to confession and made a good confession, and it was at that moment that I experienced what I now know as just a deep spiritual consolation, a peace which I had never experienced before. And it was just, it just flooded my soul. And it was at that moment that I really discovered the power of the priesthood. And the gift of the priesthood, you know, and the fact that here these simple men are given the ability through the grace of God to absolve sins. And it was just this absolutely profound moment. And I thought, after all the striving that I had done to kind of figure it all out, here God was giving me this gift to show me that the priesthood is really where he was drawing me into. So that was huge for me. Just that experience just opened up my eyes to it. And I thought, my goodness, giving my life to that, you know, being that conduit of mercy for people, oh my goodness, what an amazing gift. Just huge. And also what became like really important in my life at that point was Eucharistic adoration. So I was going like once a week and spending an hour before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And that became like essential. Like I thought the week was not complete without that hour with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And it was through that that this love and just devotion to the Blessed Sacrament like grew and grew in my heart. And I thought to myself, there is nothing more important on the face of the earth than bringing the Blessed Sacrament to the world, you know? And so that was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I remember so many times like praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just in awe of that gift, you know, the body and blood of Jesus, God before us. What more do we want? It's just like, it's overwhelming. Like, I can't, words don't describe how incredible that is.
And just to paint the picture, Father Mahoney is making the symbol of his mind being blown away, like with his hands gone, like that. That was the symbol he just made with the.
That's what it is, you know, it's just overwhelming. I wanted to speak about the sacraments and the role in the kind of discerning God's will.
Beautiful.
But just to get back to something that you were saying before, Father DeLacy, was the role of trust. You had spoken about that a little bit around Jeremiah. And can I trust in God's will for me? You know, and that's like the bedrock, I think, for my vocation. I think for any vocation is like, first of all, having this encounter with Jesus and encountering his love for me and then being transformed by that and then being sent out on a mission to tell others about it. I think that's the dynamic of the gospel. That, like, you see that in the gospel where Peter, you know, he had been fishing all night or whatever it was, and he hadn't caught anything. And then the Lord says, put out into the deep. And he's like, really? Like, come on, I've been doing this. Like, I haven't caught anything. Like, I really don't think it's going to work out. But he does, and they catch, like, this amazing, you know, catch of fish. And to the point where the boats are sinking. And Peter gets down on his knees, and he says, you know, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And then the Lord, like, kind of just, like, like sidesteps that whole like confession there. Or not really, but like Peter is acknowledging that he's been transformed by this encounter with the Lord and his and this miraculous catch. And then Jesus says to him, "I will make you fishers of men."
Mm.
He sends him out on a mission. And I think that that dynamic happens again and again, where we encounter the Lord and we're transformed, and then he sends us out. Mm. And I think that's really what happened in my vocation. Like, I encounter Jesus in so many ways, in people, in the Eucharist, in confession, and I was transformed by that, and then I was sent out. And,
beautiful.
You know, and I really, I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many different aspects of it, but those are like the highlights. So in 2008, I was accepted to St. Charles Seminary, and I began studies for the Diocesan Priesthood, and it was awesome. And so that was that. So there's more things to say, but anyway.
No, it's wonderful. We have Father Chris Marconi here. He is doing a great job. We are very blessed to have him here, and you know, praise God for that. This is, you're listening to the Vocation Hour. I'm Father DeLisi, the host of the show, and you can get information about Father Marconi or how to reach out to me through the Heed the Call website. You can also get information about our Come and See weekend. And, you know, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday at the seminary, we actually have an open house where you can come and come on the grounds. This is for anyone. Come on the grounds and experience the beauty of the seminary. And then the open house ends with a Christmas, an Advent concert, I think Advent/Christmas concert, following the open house. And so it is an absolutely amazing experience. If you haven't heard the musical talent of the seminarians, you know, you really are up for a treat. And so I just encourage you to find out more information about it. You can go to the seminary's website or contacting the vocation office, and we can help put you in contact with the great event of the open house, where you see the beauty of the seminary, the beautiful buildings. And as many know, you know, this, the seminary program will continue, but you know, the intention is to move from the campus. And so the days are numbered to come and visit the historically iconic, beautiful buildings, here on Widwood Avenue. And so don't let this opportunity pass by, because there's not tons of opportunities for the public to come in and tour the whole campus. Well, we're back here with Father Chris Marconi, and you know, he's brought the story up to the point where he's applied to the seminary, he's been accepted to the seminary, and I want to get into he's living out the priesthood in a beautifully rich way. So I want to make sure we get to that. So Father Marconi, what are some of the highlights from the seminary, or maybe even better said, now that you're a priest, what are the things that you miss about your time at the seminary?
Okay, so first and foremost, just right off the top, I mean, it comes to me immediately, and that is the community here.
Mm.
Being with a group of brothers, discerning together and growing together, it's so unique and such a gift. You know, when Cardinal Regali was the Archbishop of Philadelphia, he would gather with us and he would say that the seminary is the place where we are with Jesus and with one another. And I think that's what it's all about. It's being close to the Lord and learning so much, and growing and being close with your brothers who have also been called by the Lord at the same time, which is something really amazing and unique, you know, and something to appreciate.
Absolutely. And the bond that, it's a real brotherhood, the bond that forms, because, you know, you're being called to do something really amazing and very countercultural, and you're walking closely with our Lord, and, you know, our Lord's grace most profoundly, but these other factors really forge a deep, you know, brotherhood.
Yeah.
The blessing of the seminary is that you have that brotherhood where you just, you know, you're living in a dorm. So if you want to find something to do, you just kind of keep knocking on a door until somebody's available.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, that brotherhood continues into priesthood, but the convenience of connecting with the brothers is lessened.
Yes, so, definitely.
So, so praise God. So definitely the brotherhood. Yeah, Any other highlights that, you know?
Yeah, I just wanted to, just a little side note here. We've just taken a pilgrimage on Saturday to the Pope St. John Paul II Shrine in Washington, D.C. And I wanted to point out to the people, we brought a group from the parish, about 50 people, busload down for that. And I just wanted to point out to them that we're taking this pilgrimage not alone, you know, but with a group, with a community, with the parish. And we journey together to the shrine. And I said, that's what life is all about. We are journeying. We're on this pilgrimage together, and our destination, heaven, you know? And but we're doing it together. And I always felt like that was true in the seminary. You know, you don't go into a seminary on your own, but you're there with a community and you're journeying together. So I think that's a really important point to make. Sorry, that was a side note.
But you said insight.
Your question was, what else do you miss? You know, I had to say that, and this has been something strong at St. Charles for, I guess, since its beginning, but I'm not sure. And that is the intellectual formation. So here you're really able to delve deeply into some of the more deep and into the deep questions, not only of life, but questions that are and challenges that the church is facing right now. And that's a unique opportunity, you know, to be able to really spend the time delving into those deeper questions, so that you can give that to the people who you know, have those questions or are facing those challenges and difficulties. I can't tell you all of the times in my parish ministry that I've relied on, you know, some of the things that I've learned here to guide people, to help them in their journey, in their Christian journey, in their Catholic journey, you know? So those would be the two things, I think.
And you mentioned the intellectual formation. I'm always very, like, you know, joyful and humbled. You know, since I've been a priest, I've been a priest for 12 years now. And
thanks be to God.
God is so good. And, you know, the intellectual formation here is so rich and so strong that literally, you know, from an ordinary, you know, church-going Catholic, there's been some intellectuals that I have conversations with that, I wouldn't necessarily be able to address fully. But, you know, there's been no situation that I've encountered that I wasn't able to address it well.
Yes.
You know, maybe need to get a little bit more information, but able to at least address it well in the moment because of the richness. So, you know, the seminary really does prepare you for ministry. Yes. Are you finding the same?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. In such an incredible way. And honestly, if you don't know if you don't know the answer, or you can't speak fully, like you're saying, about what the person is presenting to you, you know where to go. You know the resources, you know where to look, and I think that's huge.
Definitely. So we'll praise God, and then the glorious day that you were ordained a priest.
Hallelujah.
And the whole church rejoiced, you know, and then you were sent forth then to the great parish of St. Eleanor in Collegeville, giving the shout out there.
We got so many good people at St. Eleanor. It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of reports from St. Eleanor's about the great work that you're doing. You're beloved there, and that sort of thing. So I guess, you know, there's several questions we can answer before we get into parish life a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, what's your favorite thing to do as a priest?
Favorite thing to do as a priest? Oh, my goodness. There's so many. Where do I begin? oh, my goodness. Favorite thing. Wow. Father DeLays, you're stump the priest. Okay. Obviously, the sacraments are a unique and privileged opportunity to witness Christ's action in people's lives. I often think when hearing confessions, you know, who am I to be sitting here and hearing these things? There's no reason why the person should be hearing this, but I'm there in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, to absolve, to give healing, to give peace. So privileged moments like that, just like that comes to me again and again. Mass, the celebration of the Eucharist, is at the heart of every day. So favorite parts? I have to say, I guess my favorite would be that. I love working with the young adults. I love working with the college students. I love being with the kids in school. I love going to the hospital. I love, there's so many things. I could go on and on. There's just, I love it all. I love preaching. I love, I don't know. There's too many things to respond to.
Praise God. Yeah. So that's also, because then the priesthood is rich with a lot of, like, wonderful and awesome experiences. It really is.
It really is.
So what's been your biggest challenge as a priest so far? Because we don't want to give the impression that it's all, you know, all sunshine and roses. It's a lot of sunshine and roses, but it's not all sunshine and roses. What's been your biggest challenge at this point?
You know, on Tuesday of this week, I buried a very young man. He was 27 years old.
Wow.
And that's the third time that I've done that as a priest. And I have to say the most difficult thing is to enter into the pain of others, especially that kind of pain.
Mm.
You know, no parent should bury their child. It's just not right.
Mm.
And that for me has been consistently a very difficult thing to face.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, as a priest, you really do see people in all places in their lives, and sometimes you see them at rock bottom, you know? And that for me has always been, it's a challenge, you know? What words do you speak? Are there words that you can speak? You know, no, of course not. And God's working through you to bring about the consolation that they need at that moment. So that's been a real challenge for me, and that's kind of just like, you know, heavy on my heart, you know, just because it happened this week. But and other challenges are, I'd have to say, like, college ministry is a challenge in a way that's calling me to kind of grow, because as we know, you know, people are leaving in droves in college age, at their college age, you know, they just are. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but, you know, it's been a real challenge to like get that ministry growing. And especially because of the unique situation up at the college that I serve. So, you know, but it's been challenging but rewarding at the same time, because there's great fruit and there's like you're planting seeds in their lives, but yet it's tough to get the ball rolling, you know. And of course they're kind of in and out, you know. So they only have those 4 years, and they're more or less dedicated to the college, because a lot of them are coming from the local area. So you know they can just get back home quickly, and even if they're coming from like Maryland or whatever, they like it's a quick trip back. So that's been a challenge. College ministry has been a challenge, but I love it, and it's something really close to my heart. So you know.
Yeah. What have you been the most proud of in your, you know, time of ministry as a priest?
Most proud of? Oh, man. Wow. The Father DeLacy, you got the tough questions.
Hard-hitting questions.
This is hard-hitting.
This is not just some soft,
yeah, right.
you know, religious show. We're hard-hitting here.
So what's been the – now I'm forgetting the question. What was the toughest
– What is the things that you're most proud of?
The things I'm most proud of. Yeah, okay. So I would have to say – let's see. The things I'm most proud of. Oh, my goodness. I had to say, let me see here. I'm most proud of just knowing that in preaching the Word of God, that although I can't see it, there's seeds being planted in people's hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He is working in them to bring about conversion. And I am just the bearer of the good news. So I'm proud of the fact that, like, that, you know, God has given me some semblance of ability to speak that word to them, and then through the grace of the Holy Spirit, like, working that conversion in their lives. I love
that.
I think that's amazing. It's a great gift, you know? And priests are, as the Second Vatican Council says, first and foremost, they are to proclaim the good news, you know, and that's what it's all about, proclaiming that good news.
And it's humbling. Any given Sunday, like, your homily can be a life-changing experience for someone.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, isn't it? It really is awesome. And there's a humility about that, because you know that it's God working through you.
Yes.
There's also the bar is raised too, knowing that, like, You have to be on your A game. You have to prepare. You have to play well. You have to show up and play to win. In a sense, in terms of delivering the word as enthusiastically and clearly as you possibly can. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so describe the great parish of St. Eleanor. We have a very wide listening audience here, so not everyone may be familiar with the parish. So to describe it for us.
Well, first of all, I love St. Eleanor. I love all the people there, and it wouldn't be what it is without all of the dedicated lay faithful who give of so much of their time and effort and energy to build up that community, to make it a passionate community of disciples of Jesus Christ. It's just such an amazing place. It was founded in 1911, and it was a country parish when it was first founded out, really in the middle of nowhere at the time. And when the Archdiocese founded it that long ago, it was really it was a country parish, and it used to be on Main Street in Collegeville. Collegeville is so named because it says when you drive through the borough of Collegeville, so named because there's so many colleges. But I think there's only one now, or Sinus College. Maybe there was at one point many. But in the 70s, it moved to its current location. And, you know, the 422 was built, and like a lot of people started moving up. And, of course, a lot of people were moving over from Norristown. They were moving into the Collegeville area. Mm. And then the pharmaceutical companies came into the area, and then it just kind of blossomed. And there was so much new construction. In 2003, there was 300 baptisms at St. Eleanor's. So it really it just burgeoned at that point. And it's we still have about 120 baptisms a year.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a decent number of baptisms. And let's see, we have an awesome school. Holy Cross Regional School is the name of the school. It's a regionalized school between St. Eleanor's in Collegeville and Sacred Heart in Royersford. And so we have that. It's awesome. We have tons. I can talk about some of the ministries maybe, you know, in the parish. We have Walking with Purpose, which is a women's Bible study. They meet on Thursdays. And just an incredible group of women who are really dedicated to growing closer to the Lord through Scripture. We have great men's groups. We have a very active Knights of Columbus Council. We have tons of amazing things going on at the parish. And yeah, we have 4,000 families, or 4,200 families.
Wow.
And so it's a very vibrant and active and thriving parish. And, it, you know, Monsignor Mike McCulkin is at the helm.
Woo-hoo, good
and,
man.
Yeah, he's an awesome priest. And, he is leading that community, and we also have Monsignor Tom Murray. He's a retired priest who's with us.
Good man.
And just an amazing example of having persevered in the priesthood, and just to see just the great wealth of experience there and in his life, and just a remarkable, great – it's a good house, you know, and we have deacons assigned there as well. And yeah, so that's just a little snapshot of St. Eleanor's.
Yeah, praise God. Well, just a quick commercial break here. You listen to the Vocation Hour. We're on with Father Chris Marconi, a great priest of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, assigned to St. Eleanor's, which is a place that he loves with, and they love him with great enthusiasm. You know, to hear this show, if you think somebody would really benefit from hearing the good things that Father Marconi has to say, you can go to the heedthecall.org website to get those further information. And if you want to sign up for a Come and See weekend or more information about the open house and Christmas concert, please go to the Heed the Call website. You know, every show, I've neglected it a couple shows, but every show we name an MVP of the show,
yes,
the most valuable priest. And this one's pretty hard because you mentioned a few priests, Father Tom Betts, you know, Father Joe Devlin,
yeah,
you know, also Monsignor Paul Doherty, and some other priests too. So I've been deliberating. You know, this is a very coveted award throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
We need a drum roller.
Yes, it really is significant. But you know what? I think this show's MVP is going to be Father Chris Marconi.
Oh!
So, yay, Joe!
Wow, really?
Congratulations.
Oh, my goodness. I'm honored. This is, like, such an honor here.
I've
chosen over Monsignor Doherty, and, I mean, this is unbelievable.
Father Devlin, it was a hard choice. It was a hard choice, but you deserve it.
You're the man, Father Lacey. You are awesome.
So, and just, we would get in trouble if we didn't explicitly mention, you know, the young adult ministry that you are the chaplain of.
Father Lacey, Metanoia is the premier young adult ministry in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Describe it. Why is it so premier?
Well, first and foremost, because it was started by not just the MVP, but the greatest priest in Philadelphia.
Oh, God help us,
Father Steve DeLacy. I'm just
kidding. Well, as many as deliberating with some, there's been a lot of great leadership, including yourself. Yeah, you know, I was the first domino. So, you know.
No, thanks be to God, Father DeLacy, for your work in setting up Metanoia. And you had done that at your time at St. Mary's, right, in Schwenksville?
I was living at St. Mary's and the chaplain of Pope John Paul II High School.
Ah, yeah, okay. And it was – so you started it there, and it's really just gone in such a positive direction. Father Tom Whittingham was the spiritual director prior to me. And then Father Dan Arechabala is also involved. Mm-hmm. And it's just been such an amazing experience. They meet every Tuesday night for either a Bible study or a holy hour or theology on tap or a social event. And, of course, we have Mr. Bill Rose on our leadership team, who is just phenomenal. And we've got Paul Raksowski, who's our president. And it's just a great leadership team, and it's just a phenomenal group of young adults who are really giving so much of their time and energy to promote that ministry among that group of Catholics. I have to plug one event, though.
Please do.
If you don't, this is a shameless plug, but I have to do it. And maybe I'm not going to plug that because I'm getting a no from Bill Rose on that one. So, but you should go to Theology on Tap because we have some amazing Theology on Taps. And we've got an amazing one coming up in November. So check the website, Metanoia website, and you'll find out more about that. Okay. But maybe I'll do a shameless plug at another point.
That's all good.
Metanoia is such a great group. And thanks be to God for your starting it up.
God is so good. It was actually I really felt prompted by God that there was a need for a young adult ministry in that area, and it was only because of God's prompt that I looked into it, and it seems like this is what God wanted, and praise God, there's a fruitfulness.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming down to the last couple minutes of the show here, so and Father Marconi, we only scratched the surface of the wonderfulness the wonderful man that you are, the good priest that you are, and that sort of thing. So, but what words of advice would you give to a man who's listening to the show and who's thinking like, man, this might be for me?
Yeah, yeah. So I would say that number one thing is to always make a decision such as this, which is a life decision, to always make it out of a place of consolation.
Mm.
You never want to make this decision out of a place of desolation, which is the opposite of that. And there's some explanation that needs to happen around that. And you can totally talk to Father Steve DeLacy or any priest, and they will explain to you what that is. But essentially, you want to be making this decision out of a place of peace, out of a place of knowing that you are loved infinitely by God and that you can trust Him. I think that when the decision is made in that space, in that spiritual space, you can rely on it. You know that is the rock upon which you can build your life, because ultimately it's the rock of the truth, Jesus Christ, who does love us, whom we can trust, who gives himself to us, and all that he asks for in return is everything. So give him everything. You know, he gives us everything, and he asks for everything in return, and we can do that joyfully. We can do that with knowing that he is always with us through it all. But making that decision and acting out of that place of consolation is so important.
Beautiful. Well, praise God. We thank God for the gift of Father Chris Marconi, our special guest for the show today. We hope that everyone in the listening audience have a very blessed Advent and a very Merry Christmas, and may the new year bring many blessings to all of us. May it bring to all of us a greater increase in our desire and ability to do God's will above all things. And may it bring an increase in vocations to the priesthood and the religious life throughout the whole Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Father Chris, thank you so much for being on the show.
Father DeLacy, I can't thank you enough for having me here. God bless you and all the good work that you do.
And we'll close with a little bit of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that for the grace to seek your will above all things in our lives, that we always put you in the first place and relegate everything to second, so that your will and your agenda can be the guiding force in our lives. And we ask this all through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. See you the first Friday of next year. God bless you.